and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm here. It's okay. Everybody.
I was getting worried.
Remain calm, everyone. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. You know what it is?
What?
I'm nearly beside myself. You know why?
Why?
Things turning around here in Calcutta where I've moved.
Oh, really?
I got an air conditioning unit in my bedroom yesterday.
Is it hot there?
Yes. I don't know if it's the humidity or my perimenopause.
It's your perimenopause.
But as you know, I've been a ball of sleepless sweat. However, Manny, my not-so-super-super, came and put
it in. The one who wouldn't let you into your house?
Well, he would if I paid him. Welcome to New York. All right. We have a big show.
Can't you find a less crooky handyman?
Oh, you see how he put, you know, what's that putty stuff you put when you put in a unit?
Caulk.
Oh, he's just the worst. It's like there's crap all over the windows, like he just left it there. He's just, oh. Hmm. All right. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
No sense of pride. No sense of workmanship. You have to pay extra for that. All right. StephanieMiller.com is the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Oh, my God. We have a six-guest extravaganza today.
Holy crap.
A wildly popular new feature, Face the Grayson, coming up in less than half an hour. Your opportunity to face the Alan Grayson.
Yes.
Congressman extraordinaire. Have you seen the the asshat that's running against him in his new ad?
No, I haven't.
On racial profiling? All right, we'll talk to him about all of that. So lots of stuff to get to. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Once again, I prepared for an interview with Jim Rome, so now I have to throw out this whole sports interview because it's the fancy climate guy from the Center for American Progress, Joe Rome, which is entirely different. Hello, Joe.
Howdy.
I was going to ask you about, you know, if you're going to do the sports boycott of the Arizona law. Never mind now. Let's move on to the...
I was preparing for an interview by Dennis Miller.
See, you're funny, Joe. He does the whole interview as if I'm Dennis Miller, and I do it as if he's Jim Rome.
Yeah.
Okay. Joe Rome is the senior fellow at the Center for American Progress and former Assistant Secretary of Energy during the Clinton administration. How about that there? He is also, wait, hang on. This is a very long title, Joe. Hang on 1 second. He is the author of the new book, Straight Up, America's Fiercest Climate Blogger, takes on the status quo, media, politicians, and clean energy solutions.
Woo!
Whew. All right. So let's talk about the latest on this oil spill. And you have a great new article called The Need to Beat Our Oil Addiction. First of all, I have to address Fox News having Michael Brown on.
Oh, man.
Heck of a job, Brownie, to discuss the Obama administration's response to this and to basically put out the conspiracy theory that they did this on purpose so that they could shut down drilling.
I know. I guess anything. He's like the world's least qualified person to talk about the response.
Right.
You know, he padded his resume. He didn't even have any experience on disaster response, and now Fox News drags him out to accuse Obama of intentionally dawdling. I mean, it's...
Right. If they were going to do a segment on Arabian horses, he would be an expert, but not exactly on disaster management, right?
Yeah, everyone can now see that there's a huge cost to our fossil fuel dependence. And, you know, the right wing is desperate to come up with crazy conspiracy theories, you know, so it's like, who are you going to believe, us or your lying eyes?
Right.
Everyone can see that there are costs. It was the point of this op-ed was there are genuine costs to keeping doing what we're doing, keeping with the old, dirty, unclean, unsafe fuels of the 19th century, and it's now time to, you know, aggressively pursue the clean, safe energy of the 21st century that never runs out.
Right. Well, you know, I mean, it's just, this is the right wing's play. I don't know if you saw Mike Pence, of course, right out there talking about the White House was slow on the oil spill, it's their Katrina, blah, blah, blah. And there is just nothing, you know, when John Boehner's not even going there is just nothing to support that.
Yeah, and BP knows, and the oil companies aren't saying this. I think the thing people need to realize is that, you know, because BP was convinced that this scenario scenario could never happen. You know, they called it inconceivable and impossible. They created a response plan which it didn't include very much. I mean, for instance, this huge multi-ton cap that they're now putting on. Why didn't they build one of these years ago and have it ready in case of disaster?
You.
That's because they never thought a disaster was possible, and they were cozy with the Minerals Management Service of the Bush-Cheney administration.
Thank you.
And that led to this voluntary trust us self-regulation approach. And when the accident happened, you know, if you don't think the worst case can happen, you're not going to see it. And they lowballed the spill rate, and they told everybody, yeah, we can handle it, because that's the delusion they were operating.
Well, I know. And this dome, you're right, it's very Wile E. Coyote. I'm not sure if they're going to drop it and we're going to hear it, meep, meep, and then they'll be like, oh, you know, that didn't work either. I mean, it's you're right. The fact that, as you say, you know, they've had this trust us self-regulatory framework. You know, no one obviously asked the hard question, are you prepared if this does have, what are you going to do immediately to contain this? Because, you know, as you point out in this article, which is terrific, is that, you know, unfortunately, there's not a lot you can do once it gets to this point. It's going to be a disaster.
Yeah, and I should say people can come to my blog, climateprogress.org, if they want to read that piece or to, you know, I'm trying to follow this issue closely. But, yes, once, and I have this other piece by a 20-year Coast Guard veteran who's also an associate professor of public health, and that's his point, is that once this thing happens, there's not bloody much you can do about it. You can dump all the chemicals you want to disperse the oil, but that doesn't get rid of the oil. It just takes it from the visible surface and puts it into the ocean and the seafloor, where it, in tiny droplets, is going to harm fish and oysters and have, you know, equally serious environmental consequences.
Well, and I mean, you make a, you know, the most cogent point here. The only effective strategy is strong regulatory oversight to prevent disasters in the near term and getting off oil in the longer term. Because I think, I can't remember where you had these statistics, but I mean, people don't realize, like in the Exxon Valdez, more than $2 billion in cleanup efforts recovered just 8% of the spilled oil. Some species have still not recovered. So that's the problem, is like you say, that there really isn't, at least they haven't thought of an effective way yet once this happens to contain it.
No, and not with the volumes that apparently we're seeing, which is somewhere between 200,000 gallons a day and maybe 1 million gallons a day. And BP admits that it could get much higher if their, as you say, Rube Goldberg solutions don't actually work.
Well, and you make the best case here for regulation. You talk about in their drilling plan that BP misled federal authorities about the potential effects of a spill. Then after the disaster struck, they kept lowballing the spill numbers, creating the impression the company could handle the leak on its own. So I do not think the blame for this belongs at the feet of the Obama administration, do you?
No, not at all. In fact, it was the Obama administration, it was the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, which came forward and said, hey, this is leaking five times faster than people thought, and you're going to need a lot of help. And so, you know, I mean, I think the good news is that the Coast Guard seems pretty competent in this. I think the bad news is, you know, there's only so much that you can do with, you know, it's not even a spill. I have this one post. Calling the spill or a leak doesn't do justice. It's like an undersea volcano of oil.
Right. Right, exactly. I mean, and you make the point about the, you know, for instance, let's start with the fishermen. The BP, you know, who's going to make them whole? I mean, they certainly, you know, that ought to be a no-brainer, right?
Well, you have fishermen, and then you have the devastation to the tourism industry. And then you have this, you know, very difficult to quantify impact on a pretty fragile ecosystem. I mean, the Gulf area was hit by hurricanes. The Mississippi River dumps vast quantities of, you know, fertilizer runoff, so there's a massive dead zone there already. I spoke to a toxicologist about what these dispersants do. I mean, we're the dispersants are a toxic chemical too, and they are quite harmful to marine life And when you disperse the oil, by the way, you turn it into tiny droplets that just happen to be the size of food for things like oysters, and it can also clog up fish gills. So we're going to be living with this for many months to come.
Now, you know, here's the problem we always run up against, Joe, with, you know, our Republican friends in Congress. Harry Reid said he backs the BP liability bill, but he said, you know, it's going to be hard to figure how we're going to move that through the Senate. I mean, this is the problem, is Republicans on the side of big insurance companies, on the side of big oil, on the side of big banks. I mean, it's just, I mean, Harry Reid went on to say, we have a standard the Republicans have adopted here. We have more than 300 pieces of legislation we've gotten from the House. We have more than 100 nominations that have been held up. We've been held up on this Wall Street bill for a couple of weeks, so it's hard to figure out. I mean, and even in the wake of this, it just seems stunning, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, look, the oil industry makes many tens of billions of dollars in profits, and they buy influence. And, you know, I called BP the Goldman Sachs of big oil. Because they're just, they have this attitude. In fact, the CEO was quoted as saying, you know, what did we do to deserve this? Well, the answer is, you know, a spotty safety record.
Right.
And delusional safety, you know, response plans and pushing insistence on the voluntary trust us regulation. So I think hopefully that, you know, this spill will be so big that, you know, even your kind of, you know, opportunistic waffler guys like Charlie Crist are saying, well, maybe I'm now not for drilling. So hopefully there will be a shift in reality. But,
right,
you know, as you know, the people inside the Beltway, the Republicans inside the Beltway are, you know, unmovable by reality.
Right. Joe, before you go, one of the, you know, things obviously that has come up is that Halliburton was in the process of cementing, I don't know what it is, the well or something underwater. What do you think, I mean, obviously this is going to need to be investigated. What do you think their culpability may or may not be?
Well, I think that they're going to be at the center of this. I mean, historically, about half of the blowouts are due to this cementing process, and Halliburton was in charge of cementing. And you're starting to hear stories leak out that this process was hurried and it wasn't done properly, again, because they...
so unlike them.
I know. And, of course, Cheney... you know, under 8 years, the Interior Department, again, lacks oversight and not insistence on the best technology. And BP did not have the best fail-safe technology that money could buy, $500,000 for a backup acoustic shutoff.
Yep. Joe Rome, who is not Jim Rome, by the way, is the author of the new book, Straight Up America's Fiercest Climate Blogger, takes on the status quo, media, politicians, and clean energy solutions from the Center for American Progress. Joe, thanks as always. Please check in with us again, because as this is going to obviously continue.
Thanks, Stephanie. This is much better than the interview I was planning with Dennis.
And much better than the one I prepared for with Jim Rome. All right. Thank you, Joe. Appreciate it.
All righty. Thanks.
All right. There he goes. That was funny. We should have just gone ahead and done the interview like that.
We'll plan that for next time.
Mate, babe, Chachi, how you feeling about this, you know, the Arizona law and the sports teams, babe?
And he'll just scream about football.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right. By the way,
what?
I have a story about oystermen when I come back. That's why I brought up the fishing thing. All right.
What? Huh?
Don't look at me like that through Skype.
All right.
Thank God. You know what? We'll have a GoToMeeting later, and I'll explain it to you.
Okay.
Mama and Chris use GoToMeeting every week because we are, they're in L.A., I'm here in New York.
Mm-hmm.
But you know the deal in this economy.
Yeah.
But hardly anybody's paying for business travel anymore. Even when you're within the same city. Traffic sucks everywhere.
Yeah.
Parking sucks. Gas prices are high.
Can you imagine me flying to New York every day for our daily show meeting?
Oh, that would... who'd want to spend that much time with you in person? What you do is you get GoToMeeting. Picture this. You're on the phone with a client, a colleague, a MOOC. You're trying to explain something. They're sort of dense. They can't get it.
What?
It's frustrating. Good news, now they can go to use GoToMeeting.com to hold an online meeting. It is so easy. Set up a meeting in advance. You can do it on the fly. Everyone just logs right on to GoToMeeting.com. Now they see your computer desktop on their computer screen. You can show them what you're talking about. GoToMeeting is brought to you by Citrix. It is the easiest, most secure way to hold an online meeting. You can use it for product sales presentations, a product demo, a training session. We use GoToMeeting here at the Stephanie Miller Show, and we love it. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Why? Because I give and I give. Mm-hmm. That's a month of unlimited online meetings free. You've got to try this to see how it works. It is really amazing. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click on the Try It Free button. Use the promo code Stephanie. Be sure to use that promo code Stephanie. 21 minutes after the hour. My story about oyster men later. After the break on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Next to food and music, this is mankind's greatest invention.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 26 minutes after the hour. Hop on those phones. It is almost time for Face the Grayson.
Yes.
1-800-STEPH-12, Congressman Alan Grayson, in our weekly segment where you can ask him anything that you would like. All right. Hey, guess what? Chris, something technical has gone cattywampus.
I know.
I've lost you on Skype, and I've lost my phone system here.
I think you're having problems on your end. Yeah, because I keep trying to call you on Skype, and it says unable to connect.
I'm unavailable.
Yeah.
Aren't I mysterious?
Hmm.
All right. I was saying, you know, we were talking about Harry Reid said he would back the BP liability, bill. And I know that other people, including Senator Lander, are talking about getting the fishermen
right.
paid, which Joe Rome just mentioned, which I really, to me, that is, you know, is absolutely imperative, don't you think?
Absolutely.
I mean, you know, and here's why I bring it up, because my friend on Cape Cod says the Stephanie Miller Show is huge among oystermen, which I...
Hi. Huh.
It's a lot of fisher-type men that love the show in Cape Cod. But, you know, seriously, like, I've met a lot of these guys, just salt of the earth, you know, and it just... when you look at the profits that companies like BP make and all of this stuff that's coming out about how they just, you know, refused any kind of regulation and oversight, and these guys are going to be out of work. This could be years, right, Chris?
Absolutely.
I mean, you know, this kind of, that's the thing people don't understand. This isn't going to be, just because, you know, it falls out of the news this week. You know, like I was saying, in Exxon Valdez, I mean, some species have taken, still haven't recovered in Prince William Sound. So, you know. I'm just representing for my oysterman. Mm-hmm. Mama loves her some oysters, just saying.
Do you?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. Mark. Mark, I don't know what either of us meant by any of that. But
yeah.
Anyway, Mark in Minneapolis writes, Steph, my wife is mad again, and as usual, I haven't a clue. I don't really know where to turn for advice from a woman. You're one, sort of. Someone who gives advice, I mean.
Oh.
Here's what happened last Saturday. Some of the guys phoned me up for a card game. I wanted to answer yes, but Steph, I didn't. I said, I don't know. First, I have to check with the bitch. Now she's acting all bitchy. Stephanie, I'm just asking you, what makes bitches so crazy? By the way, does the Stephanie Miller Show have an official clueless husband? No, Mark, but you would be it, though.
Yeah.
What does make bitches so crazy, Chris? I don't know. You must wonder that every day working with me.
I really do.
Mark, here's what you do. Go to StephanieMiller.com and get her some Sherry's Berries. How about that? If she's a mom, you can enter our contest, can't you? If you think you have the best mom in the world, we want to hear about it in 50 words or less. Tell us why your mom is the best, and you'll be entered to win a $50 Sherry's Berries gift card. You can go to berries.com, by the way. Type in Stephanie.
And those things are delicious and huge. Have you seen berries that big?
Enormous, like bowling balls.
Yeah, well.
Mark, it's the only thing that will will get you back in her good graces.
They're like Chernobyl berries.
And don't put
berries.
Bitch on the card.
No.
Pardon me?
They're like Chernobyl berries.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I don't think they'd appreciate that. But anyway, they are delicious. All right. 1-800-STEP-12 is the number. Time to face the Grayson with Congressman Alan Grayson next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I love disco, and I hear it's making a comeback.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 34 minutes after the hour. It's Thursday. That must mean, oh, it's time for the wildly popular new feature.
And now it's time for Congressman Alan Grayson and your chance to face the Grayson.
Good morning, Congressman. We found the actual Face the Nation theme.
It's great. How do I look this morning?
You look fabulous.
Thanks. Is my tie straight?
Yes.
You look fabulous. Well, first of all, we have to talk about...
Yeah, when I'm on the radio, I always want to make sure that I look good.
That's important.
I can feel you looking good through the phone line. Congressman, yeah. Let's talk about this... oh, gosh, what's the word? This this guy that might be running against you in his new commercial. Who is this guy? Is he going to be... Does he have a good chance of being the Republican nominee or what?
Well, he's a bigot, so I guess he does have a good chance of being a Republican nominee.
Wow. Yeah.
The first gauntlet has been thrown down. So, yeah, he has this ridiculous commercial where he basically promotes racial profiling. He's like, does this guy look like a terrorist? People, this guy does.
White people should not be inspected anymore at the airports. Because white people never do anything wrong.
Yeah.
Other than the Oklahoma City bombing.
Right.
But apart from that, you know, other than flying an airplane into a federal building. But other than that.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I'm attacking the Holocaust Museum. But other than that.
Yeah. May I just say, what an asshat that guy is. He also, like, pulls a guy up with, like, duct tape over his mouth and says he'll keep people like that off planes, which presumably you won't. You would allow people with duct tape on their mouths to get on planes, I guess is the point.
Yeah, by comparison.
So anyway, let's talk about, I mean, it really is, you know, I'm listening to like Lindsey Graham yesterday. I mean, it is amazing how even something that is very successful, they find a way to criticize, right? I mean, we had the worst security failure in our history on Bush's watch. And now this is the second attempt that has, you know, the guy is in prison singing like a bird. What is their problem?
Look, it's very simple. Scratch a teabagger, find a racist.
You're loaded for bear this morning, may I just say, Congressman.
It's a tie. It's your favorite
tie. It's a tie, yes.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I'm going, could this have gone better? You know, apparently they delayed his arraignment because he's talking so much, right?
Yeah, you know, as I said months ago on the floor of the House, if the President of the United States found a way to bring about world peace, they'd blame him for destroying the defense industry.
Yep.
That's the way they are on the other side. They're going to be complaining no matter what. They're whiners.
Right. I mean, of course, the other big story, the oil spill, your good friend Mike Pence, a Republican of Indiana, already out there, you know, this is his Katrina, the response, I mean, based on absolutely nothing.
Whiners. They're all whiners.
Yes, exactly. All right, hang on. Let me see. I did do it correctly. All right, it's time to face the Grayson, and we have a lot of people queuing up in line here for you. Let's go to William.
People.
Yes.
William in Jacksonville, Florida. You're on Face the Grayson. Go ahead, William.
Congressman Grayson, I'd like to thank you for recognizing that when it came to ACORN that the Congress couldn't do that bill of attainment, if I'm saying it correctly. Is there any movement in Congress to reinstore their funding or at least issue an apology or that somebody did a proclamation thanking the two yahoos who made up lies about ACORN? Is there anything in Congress to correct that?
The federal judge has already ruled that the attack on ACORN by the Republicans in Congress was unconstitutional, that the Congress is not a judge or a jury, and that we have a legal system meant to prevent people from being singled out for punishment by Congress. So I think that deal is done.
Okay. Yep. Okay. All right. Let's go to Lavender in Tucson, Arizona. You're on Face the Grayson. Good morning, Lavender.
Good morning, Mama. Good morning, Representative Grayson. How are you today?
Good. Is that your real name or just your pen name?
Oh, that's my roller derby skate name.
She's the official roller derby queen of the Stephanie Miller Show, Congressman. I neglected to mention that. My apologies.
I'm also a school teacher, and I'm fortunate enough to have in one of my classes the niece of a colleague of yours, Representative Flake. Now, Representative Flake got a lot of press last year because of his vacation pictures with his top off. And I am wondering when we are going to have the splendiferousness of your corporeal magnificence, you know, available to us.
It's up to Stephanie. I'm going to let Stephanie decide.
I'm in charge of everything, apparently. I'll take that under advisement. Let's go to Cordell in Kentucky. Time to face the Grayson. Hello, Cordell.
Hello, Mama. Hello, Boots. And hello to my hero, Congressman Grayson.
Yes.
I would like to get the congressman's opinion on whether or not he feels that the fairness doctrine should be reintroduced in the Congress so that Fox News and other right-wing networks can't get an advantage over us progressives.
Well, it's never hard to figure out what the other side doesn't want to happen because they're always complaining that it's about to happen. I remember when Obama was elected, what was it, the day after Election Day that Fox said that there was a secret plan to reinstitute the fairness doctrine? Because after all, the worst thing that could possibly happen in the world is if Fox had to be fair.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
And they kept nattering about that for weeks, the fairness doctrine, the fairness doctrine, the fairness doctrine. I often feel that we should do the things that they say we're going to do just because they say we're going to do them, if for no other reason.
Well, you know, Congressman, now we've stumbled on my issue. And I mean, you know, this is something that we've been talking about for a long time, obviously, in the radio business. And I think you know as well as anybody, there literally are 9% progressive stations and 90% conservative stations. And, you know, what we keep saying is, I don't know if the fairness doctrine is the way to address it, but where is the fairness? How is that fair? You know, I mean, it's just the country certainly isn't 90% to 10% conservative, right?
No, but it's 98% corporate-owned media.
Yep.
No, absolutely. But,
and,
you know,
you're on at their sufferance.
Yeah, exactly. Let's go to Kevin in D.C. You're on with Congressman Grayson. Hey, Kev.
Yes, good morning. Congressman Grayson, you're definitely the type of person I like to see. You're one of the people that doesn't mealy mouth on subjects.
I'm sorry, but it's the radio. I keep reminding people this. You can't see me on the radio.
Well, I wanted to ask, have your colleagues seen, like, the way that you bloody these Neanderthals, you call them nose, and the way Obama took them on nearby here in Baltimore, you know, 147 and beat them down. Have they found that good things actually happen when you have a spine and you take it to them strong, and that the facts are on your side and that good thing can happen to you? You don't have to mealy mouth and timid.
You know, they're watching. Everybody's watching to see how this little experiment goes. They were particularly happy that we were able to hit back on the Republicans when the Republicans tried to take me out by demanding an apology when I said that the Republican health care plan was don't get sick.
Yeah.
And then I withstood the resulting Fox attack. They see people rallying around. We have the largest donor base in Congress. In the last 3 months, almost 25,000 people contributed to the campaign at congressmanwithguts.com. And people are pleased to see that around here, too. What they really want to see is a win in November. And then I think that the deal is locked, because if someone who actually is honest, someone with some degree of courage, speaks out and actually manages to survive the resulting election, even what might be a bad year for Democrats, I think
right.
People will get the message.
Yep.
Right. Well, you know, Congressman, it just seems like, and I don't mean to, you know, go too far on a limb here, but that God is a Democrat, if you're looking at any sort of recent... I mean, I know they get all conspiratorial, but I mean, you look at this oil spill and you know that we're on the right side. You look at what just happened with Goldman Sachs and you know we're on the right side. And on each and every issue, it seems like they're standing up for big insurance companies, for big banks, for big oil. And, you know, I mean, I'm sorry to put it in terms, but it just seems like we're trying to fight the good fight. And they're always trying to stop us or slow us down, aren't they?
Americans have only three friends: God, your mama, and the Democratic Party. And you can't really count on your mama all the time.
Exactly. But, I mean, it's just, what, you know, how much clearer? I'm just looking on the news this morning. There's another, you know, refinery is an explosion in Texas. It's just, you know, obviously everything we're trying to get done on, like, clean energy, it's so critical right now, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And, you know, people have to decide. They want a party that's on their side, or do they want a sellout party, the other side? There's only one real question in politics, and it comes up over and over again. Whose side are you on?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Congressman, are you, you know, in the wake of some of these polls on the Arizona immigration law showing support for it, are you concerned about this as an issue before the 2010 elections?
Oh, I'm sure the other side will try to make it one of their wedge issues. You know, they're always trying to find somebody to beat on, some group that they think can't fight back. You know, one year it's we talked about this last week. One year it's gays. The next year it's illegal immigrants. The year after that it's pregnant teenagers. They always try to find somebody, some victim that they can victimize further.
Yeah, to divide us. Exactly.
Right. But I think that most people have a good heart. I know most Americans do. And I think that most people eventually can see through that. They can stoke the fires of hatred and fear as much as they want to. But in the end, people are good.
Nancy in Texas, time to face the Grayson. Hello, Nancy.
Hi. Congressman Grayson, I love you. I'm from Texas, and I heard you that when you were, I put you on the Keith Olbermann show when you said that thing about Republican health care is to don't get sick, and if you do, die quickly. And I, you know, I used to be in love with Keith Olbermann or John Stewart and Obama, but now it's you. I have a mad crush on you.
Stephanie, how do you feel about that?
I am green. I'm gonna just remember I have the hang up button here, Nancy.
I know,
all right.
I know.
Nancy, what's your question?
Well, are you married?
Oh no.
Yes, I'm married.
Oh, Nancy, I think I speak for both of us.
Are you gonna hang up on me?
No, and I wanted to know, I donated to you. It took me a while after I heard that. I went immediately and tried to find how to give you some money. And
do you want your
bit.
Money back now?
No,
yes.
No.
Nancy, I think I speak for you and me and many of the women listening when I say. Say it with me, Mrs. Alan Grayson.
I know.
Right. Thank you, Nancy. Thanks. All right. Thank you, Nancy. All right. Yes, where can they send money, even though they're brokenhearted?
Well, the website is congressmanwithguts.com.
That's right.
And I think there's an address on that website.
Thank God you didn't name it congressmanwithawife.com because you get whatever. Bitter party of one. All right. Congressman Alan Grayson, we love you in ways so appropriate and inappropriate that we will see you next week on Face the Grayson.
Wonderful.
Thank
love
you,
it.
Sir.
Bye
now.
Bye.
All right.
Oh
my best to your wife.
Oh, my God.
Poor Nancy. All right. By the way, for those of you that written in, I am not the woman that had a poster of Donny Osmond up her hoochie. We'll get to that.
God.
We'll get to that story when we come back. A lot of people assumed it was. We'll get to that story as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
More fun than a barrel of monkeys, moron.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 51 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Christine Romans, host of CNN's Your Money, coming up after the top of the hour. Representative John Yarmuth, great state of Kentucky. Representative Elliot Engel of New York. And Representative Bruce Braley, all coming up on the big show.
Holy crap.
It's an extravaganza. All right, thank you for your concern, but I am not the woman that had a Donny Osmond poster in my hoo-ha.
Oh, boy.
This was quite some breaking news in the celebrity staff. Donny Osmond will probably be horrified when he hears about this.
You think?
One of the cases discussed by medics in the new series of the BBC Bizarre ER, which is upcoming, involves a woman with pain in her private area.
Hmm.
Medical tests revealed the problem was a rolled up poster of her idol in all his 70s glory. Had it been in there since the 70s? Oh,
I hope not.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
God. Talk about, well, the guy.
I mean, I know what it was like when I had to get that David Cassidy poster out. Right, you know what I'm saying? So that can only be trouble.
The only thing I can think of from the guy's point of view, paper cuts.
Yeah.
Ow.
Particularly if you tried to get Bobby Sherman up there, too. That's, ouch. Okay, speaking of hoo-has, the L.A. Times confirming Lindsay Lohan will play a Deep Throat star Linda Lovelace in an upcoming film about the 70s porn scene. The Superficial very unkindly writing, I'll be amazed if they actually made her audition and didn't just find her out back trying to fillet an eclair for Coke money.
Something tells me she's done that before.
And D-listed in there in imbecile fashion says, Brett Michaels' doctor announced he has been released from the hospital nearly 2 weeks after he suffered a brain hemorrhage. Dr. Joseph Bambransky said his condition is improving. He's recuperating at an undisclosed location. D-listed writing, I'm guessing the undisclosed location is one of the bigger rooms at the Bunny Ranch. Doctor said he's just one of those lucky people who make a complete recovery and can resume all their normal activities. Does Dr. Zembransky realize that one of Brett's normal activities is banging his head against a stripper's thigh while she rides his shoulders? Yeah, sometimes you need to be a little more explicit with your doctor about what your normal activities include.
Yeah.
If you've had some type of injury. All right. Oh, gosh, it's right-wing comedy. Are you ready?
Uh-oh.
A weekly newspaper published on New York's Long Island defending its decision to portray President Obama and his wife as characters from the TV sitcom Sanford and Son.
Oh.
You know, because, you see, they were black. A photo spread features before and after photos of six presidents and their wives. The after photo of the Obamas is a shot from the 70s shows with Red Fox as Fred Sanford and LaWanda Page as his sister-in-law because he's they're black and so is the president and his wife.
Hmm. That's funny.
Yep. Okay. All right. Let's, so the latest on the New York City bomb plot, Chris, which is, you know, as you know, mere yards away from where I'm sitting right now.
Well, you know, another van was found this morning. Did you know that?
I did not.
Yes, on the RFK Bridge.
Oh?
Do you know where that is? I have no idea where the RFK Bridge is.
I don't know.
Yeah, the RFK Bridge was shut down this morning. It's apparently opened up again.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So what was I going to say? So here's the one thing I thought, boy, it's interesting, this whole like liberal media thing and blah, blah, blah. Have you even heard this? The man who alerted police to the bomber was a Muslim.
Yeah.
I hadn't heard it anywhere.
That's because the mainstream media is not reporting it. They're only, reporting that the perpetrator was Muslim.
One fact being ignored in all the reporting, the man who was responsible for finding the bomb was a Muslim, a Senegalese Muslim immigrant who works as a photograph vendor on Times Square, mm-hmm. was the first to bring the smoking car to police's attention. He's a street vendor selling framed photographs of New York.
Yep.
I bought those. Those are nice. They're little, the little 3D things.
Mm.
That little Broadway shows in them.
The way that hasn't been reported is out-and-out bigoted.
Yeah, I had no idea.
Yeah.
Well, apparently, it's funny. He told, I think, another vendor. He said, I walked over to Lance, who has a T-shirt stall next to him. I told him. So, and I think they just talked to that guy. So mm-hmm. he alerted the police. But the first guy
right.
that saw it and said something was, it was also Muslim. So, which, once again, goes to show you that, it would be nice to have cooperation, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
From people.
Mm-hmm.
And not alienate them deliberately.
No. And you have Fox News screaming that nobody's reporting that the perpetrator is a Muslim. Well, how about Fox News?
Yes, they did. Everybody reported it as soon as they knew.
But Fox News is saying it's not being reported enough.
The problem is, when stuff like this happens, Chris, everybody speculates. And the first thing that, and a lot of times when there's a frenzy like this, like people, things get reported that are wrong or that they aren't sure if that's the right lead or whatever. Mm-hmm. So the first tape was a white guy
right.
in his 40s that they thought was connected to this. He turned out not to be. But so, of course, people are going to go, whatever, New York City police say they have a surveillance video now of the Times Square car bomb suspect walking away down an alley moments after witnesses saw the smoking SUV. A law enforcement official says the 30-year-old Faisal Shehzad was wearing a white baseball cap moments after the Pathfinder white.
Hey.
He has no fashion sense. He's awfully smiley in his picture. You don't even normally see terrorists so smiley and kind of, they look like Match.com photos or something, don't
well,
they?
They came from Orchid.com, which is basically, a Facebook. So you're not going to have scowling terrorist-like pictures on your Facebook. Come on.
I remember the olden days of terrorists. We didn't have smiley Facebook-type photos.
We had turbans, and you liked it.
You just that moment you catch yourself going, oh, he's kind of cute. Oh, what did I say?
Stephanie Louise Miller.
The suspect was caught on video at a Pennsylvania store legally buying consumer-grade fireworks that were made mostly of paper and were so weak they couldn't blow up a watermelon, let alone an SUV, the company president said. Yeah, this guy not the brightest bulb.
No.
Did you see he also left the keys to the getaway car in the bomb car?
Oh, God.
Oh, boy. 58 minutes after the hour, back with Christine Romans of CNN's Your Money and much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. This hour brought to you by GoToMeeting. GoToMeeting, the best way to host an online meeting. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click on the Try It Free button. Type in the promo code Stephanie. Be sure to use that promo code Stephanie. All right, lots of stuff to get to. News breaking left and right. The Dow, of course, having a tough time. What's going on in Greece and all of that. But I don't speak financialese. Thank God Christine Romans is here from CNN's Your Money. Good morning, Christine.
Good morning. Well, it's a tough couple of days if you're a stock investor, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I guess so. I mean, I love baklava. That's all I know about what's going on in Greece. Tell me how this is affecting the stock market.
Oh, well, you know, it's not just Greece. This is the problem. Greece is about, I think it's less than one-fifth the size of California, you know? I mean, it's a small economy, comparatively speaking, but it's all of these interconnected relationships between banks, and it's all of the debt burdens of these countries that are a problem here. I mean, one thing when you're starting to bail out banks in the U.S. It's another thing to bail out entire countries, and that's what they're doing with Greece. You know, Greece simply is going to be unable to pay its bills. It spends too much and doesn't make enough money, and that is, you know, that's the bottom line here. Angela Merkel from Germany said the success of a bailout of Greece financially is nothing less than the future of Europe, which is stunning to me how important that is. We're also watching, you've heard it, the pigs, Portugal, Ireland, Italy, Greece, Spain, watching all of these countries who have big debt burdens in a very slow economy, and we're worried about Europe here.
Mm-hmm. Well, so now the other thing, obviously the big story here is the oil spill. And I mean, that is really going to have a huge economic impact, isn't it?
I think it will. I mean, I've been studying this week bananas, rubber, tires, chicken, Folgers coffee. The best part of waking up is an oil spill in your cup. You know, I mean, I'm watching all of these things.
Yes.
The Folgers people tell me they have enough green bean supply on hand that if there's a real terrible disruption from the oil spill, they're going to be fine. They're going to be able to keep, you know, manufacturing there.
And you're talking about the shipping channels up through the Mississippi River?
I'm talking about the shipping channels. And what happens is even if they're not closed, you've got these big, huge vessels that are going through an oil slick. They have to be power washed before they could be pulled up into the places where they, you know, take all of this stuff out and manufacture it and then put it on rail cars and send it into the country. Or conversely, grain coming down, 60% of our exports of grain come down the Mississippi in barges, then they're, you know, repackaged and put on these big ships and sent out. So all of this starts to back up. Right now, everything is still going fine, but, you know, all of the companies after Katrina have learned some major lessons, and they're doing what I call the logistics tango to make sure that there aren't any disruptions. But you could see higher shrimp prices. We're already seeing higher gasoline prices. Gas prices up 6 cents since the original fire and explosion. And you could, even though that's just a thimbleful of gas in the whole sea of marketable, you know, supplies, still, whenever there's a disruption, the people in the market get nervous. And so we're watching all that really closely. Mm-hmm. You could feel it. You could feel it at the grocery store. You could definitely feel it in your gas tank.
Did I hear some good breaking news, at least on job numbers today?
Yeah, jobless claims were not up, which is so nice. I mean, look, for a long time we had 500, 600,000 people every week lining up for jobless benefits. We don't have quite that many. 3 weeks in a row, it's been a little bit less. Tomorrow we're going to get the big jobs report. And one economist told me this morning he thinks we're going to have 180,000 jobs created, which is excellent. But some of them will be census jobs. It'll be temporary. And, you know, I always like to point out that we still need millions and millions of jobs just to get back to where we were before the crash, but at least it's going in the right direction. So we could see some jobs growth tomorrow in that big report.
Couldn't we create some new jobs by hiring some people to count the census workers? Okay.
Maybe. That's a good idea. I'll pass it along.
You know what? I'm just spitballing here, Christine. There's no bad ideas here on the Stephanie Miller Show. Now, financial reform, obviously with the New York City bomb plot and the oil spill, financial reform has kind of fallen off the radar a little bit. But I know Harry Reid yesterday accused Republicans of making love to Wall Street. Hello. He said the Republicans are having difficulty determining how they're going to continue making love to Wall Street.
Oh, Stephanie, I just have to say on that love affair has gone both ways for every party for 25 years. I mean, there's been so much making love. It's just honestly sickening. It has gone on for a very long time. And one of the things that cynics like me, who've been doing this a long time, when we hear, someone sit up on Capitol Hill and say, this is the actual prescription for how we're going to fix this. And you know damn well that they were there 20 years ago when you had a chance, or 10 years ago when you had a chance to regulate derivatives, and they didn't. You start to feel a little icky. So that's one of the things about reg reform that's pretty frustrating when they start calling each other out on politics, when you know that all along the way they've all been tied up with big contributions from the banks and the financial services.
Right. Well, Christine, one thing I want to ask you about, because I'm just, it annoys me, but not, I'd like you to explain it to me, but it sounds like this Dodge-Shelby deal has paved the way for this to move forward, on that, way to prevent bailouts of Wall Street firms. But they agreed to remove the $50 billion liquidation fund financed by the industry after Republicans argued it would encourage firms to continue taking unnecessary risks and therefore perpetuate bailouts. So now the way I'm reading it, with the fund gone, now taxpayers will need to front the billions of dollars to cover the cost of dissolving a troubled firm.
They took it off the front end. They said, we're not going to have you fund this $50 billion pool of money. Okay, we get it. The Republicans say it's a bailout. Fine. We're not going to have you fund it on the front end. But if we have to take something apart, then we're going to tax the banks to pay for it on the back end anyway. So it's just moving it around.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what the change is there. I think there were a lot of politics in there.
Well, to me, it's a worse idea. Now taxpayers are paying for it up front instead of the firms, which is what the fund would have done. The fund was exactly the opposite of a bailout fund, wasn't it? It was to wind these companies down.
Yeah, absolutely. And what Dodd says is that it's not going to be taxpayers. Dodd says it's going to be wiped by Wall Street. Either Wall Street's going to pay for it beforehand and have $50 billion in a pot ready to go, or Wall Street's going to get taxed for it after they have to go in and take and dismantle a company. So either way, there's going to be money that Wall Street's going to be made to pay for it. That's what Dodd said on it. The whole bailout thing, I mean, I think we've established that we're going to bail out companies, right? I mean, because we just did. I mean, I think that the important thing is to be able to dismantle these companies in a way that is not going to disrupt my life, my 401k,
job. Yeah, and not have us pay for it.
Right. I think you're absolutely right. And I think some of this fighting is all politics and semantics, but they are moving forward, and they're saying that they want to hammer something out before the Memorial Day break. But who knows if they can do that? I mean, don't forget, the health care reform, the make or break month was last July.
And before you go, Christine, will there be a run on Nissan Pathfinders in your experience? It's product placement, not good, but still.
I think people are getting blasé about all these recalls, don't you? I mean, I think now they're looking around and saying, gosh, is there any car in the garage that doesn't have something wrong with it? Geez. I really do think that they are getting
blasé. I might as well have bought that Fiat.
Exactly.
All right.
So look, I'm glad you asked about Greece, though. I'm really telling you, I think this what's happening in Europe is really important. Back in 97, when I was covering the Asian financial crisis, a lot of people were like, oh, that's way over there, it doesn't matter. And then suddenly it was like, ooh, that's starting to matter.
Yeah, exactly.
The economy is pretty fragile overall. So, we want to keep the jobs growth going, and we want to minimize any kind of problems, from seeping in and causing us any unforeseen consequences.
Well, one way we can keep our eye on it is by watching our money. Well, your money, frankly. frankly, on CNN. When is that on, Christine Romans?
It's Saturdays, 1 p.m. Eastern, Sundays at 3. I'm so glad you asked. And it's $5 signs, your $5 signs. We're, in the middle of the crisis, it was only your $3 signs. Now we're back up to your $5 signs.
I'm glad you retrieved your missing dollar signs. Christine Romans, thanks as always. We love having you on.
Bye-bye, Stephanie.
Thanks so much. Wow. There she goes, Christine Romans.
We've got a guy named Rome on here and then a girl named Romans. We should be wearing togas. Got a toga party going on here.
Toga. By the way, Jim, toga. do you have your Tom Brokaw request on the crisis?
Yes.
Oh, you do? Oh, by all means. This is from Tommy in Columbus. It's a voice monkey request. Here we go.
This is Tom Brokaw, formerly of NBC Nightly News. Mm-hmm. In the land of Mount Olympus and the Peloponnesian conflict, along with spoiled monetary policy by the parliament in the land of the Acropolis, will this lead to a liquidity shortfall? The latest economic letdown on the islands that make up the country of Greece might lead to a shortage of Greek delicacies. Will we no longer be able to get lemon rice or lentil soup? Will the public lack calamari, salads with large hunks of cheddar cheese, ram heroes, souvlaki, or stuffed grape leaves, which are called dolomades? And what about delicious baklava, which is a phyllo pastry layers filled with nuts?
Huh? What? Okay, thanks, Jim.
I can't think of a nut with L in it. Almonds. No, that's the wrong kind of nuts.
Legumes?
Walnuts.
All right, thank you, Tom.
Actually, yeah, I think it does have walnuts in it.
It does, actually.
Yeah. Is it me? Every time I see Brian Williams on TV, I think, oh, you ruined all the fun.
Yeah, someone who can actually speak.
No, not you.
A guy who can pronounce his own name. Damn it.
I want the other guy back.
This is all Brian Williams. What? Where'd that come from? Hey. Damn you, Brokaw. Right. What have you done?
StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Ward, me, Stephanie Miller. Oh, Dylan writes, Steph, don't worry.
Dylan. I think he,
Dylan says, because I couldn't help myself, Jim, with all the Facebook-y photos of the Times Square bomber guy, I'm thinking he's kind of cute.
You know?
If you shave the unibrow, he's not bad.
He actually looks a little like Hal Sparks in one of those pictures. If Hal had,
So that is why Hal wasn't here yesterday.
Stage makeup and
Dylan says, "Don't worry, Steph. I think he's cute too. Why are all the cute ones terrorists? I don't know, Dylan. Why are they all the cute ones terrorists?"
Hal Sparks is playing an Egyptian. It's a stunt. It's a publicity stunt. It's going to be on YouTube.
All right. Tim writes, carry my luggage is the wide stance of 2010. Yeah, thank you, Tim. Yes. You know when you need someone to carry your tea bags? Bags. You need someone to carry your bags. We will, in fact, Jim, we have Tony Perkins' statement on this.
No, Mother Blood, no!
Oh, wait a minute.
No, that's no, that is. Give someone else a chance. What are you doing in there?
This is the latest Wheel of Right-Wing Hypocrites, anti-gay religious guy that got caught with the, All right, we have Tony Perkins' statement on that as we continue 17 minutes after the hour.
No, blood! Oh.
Okay, never mind.
No. All right, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Huh, that was kind of cool. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 22 minutes after the hour. Ben in Rockville, Maryland, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hey, everybody. How you doing?
Okay.
Listen, I heard something on the news which was kind of disturbing, that there were three senators, at least one of which is a Democrat, that wanted to cap BP's cost for this oil spill at $10 billion. Now, I've got an idea. How about when they cap their well, we can actually talk about capping their costs?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, there you go. Yeah. Well, no, unfortunately, it's been worked into the law that oil companies are only liable for a certain amount of oil spills. Who's
responsible for that? Wonder how that got in there.
There's a lot of attention being paid to Ken Salazar now. Who probably should...
Interior Secretary?
Yes, probably should resign because of his close ties to the oil industry. He was, it was on his watch that all this happened. And that's one way the Republicans could try to pin this on Obama as his Katrina.
in that Ken Salazar had such close ties to the industry.
Mm-hmm.
Which, all right. How'd that go? Who greenlighted that?
Yeah. I don't know. It's time to get to another episode of one of my most favoritest entertaining editions ever, I think. I think it's even better than the wide span stance. I had surgery and I need someone to carry my bags excuse. Don't you? the religious right anti-gay guy that hired a rent boy.
Founder of
he's co-founder of Focus on the Family.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Cow.
Julie in Seattle writes, Mama, Tony, no mother blood, no Perkins isn't one little bit surprised by the unseemly vacation antics of James Dobson's homeboy George Reckers. After making sure everyone understands the Family Research Council hasn't heard from Reckers in years, so they never got the gay on them, Tony's statement explains why this fracas over saying one thing and doing something else entirely different isn't so surprising. Like everyone else, Christian leaders are fallen, flawed creatures who can barely resist the ever-present temptation to hire cute guys off the internet to handle their luggage on overseas jaunts to hot vacation Latin vacation spots. And so here it is. They sent it. Look, Family Research Council sends over a statement on George Reckers, co-founder of the group and leader of the ex-gay movement who was caught hiring a male prostitute. The council's president, Tony Perkins, denies his group has had any contact with Reckers over the past decade. He also says it's not surprising when a Christian leader engages in the very activities they preach against.
He's
like, what? Well, I think it's pretty clear we're big, fat, hairy hypocrites. What's your point?
Wow.
Well, by the way, have you seen... trying to understand the sinner, you see. Counsel the sinner, you have to understand the sin.
Yes. You have to do the outreach.
A lot of research.
Like Ted Haggard did.
Involved. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. By the way, have you seen the picture of George Reckers?
Oh, my.
Oh, he's...
Hi. Is it Rip Torn?
He's got... Yeah,
it is. It's pretty...
Yeah.
Where's the glitter?
No, not Rip Torn. Rip Taylor.
That's Rip Torn's the guy from Larry Sanders. Larry. Ah.
No, not that guy.
Rip Taylor.
Okay, that's my favorite. It's my favorite excuse Butch. Ever. I had surgery, and I can't carry my own luggage.
You know, when you get little toilet paper stuck on your shoe, and you can't carry your luggage because you bent down to pick it up and hurt your back, and, well, of course you hire a young naked stud.
As soon as the Miami New Times printed this story, Focus on the Family scrubbed every mention of Reckers.
Yes, he was wished out into
the cornfield.
And Stalin would erase pictures of people he had eliminated.
Mary! Mary in Hollywood, Florida. Hello, Mayor.
Hi there. I just want to say I love you guys. And the guy that you're talking about right now, I heard him on the podcast. It's $4.95 if you buy a year in advance. mm-hmm. He said somewhere that he found out he was gay halfway through the vacation.
Yes, he found out he was a male prostitute halfway through the vacation, and he was shocked.
Wouldn't that be the end of the vacation?
Well, you know, now that you've already paid for it, you can't get a refund. You know what I mean.
Now that you're trip insurance.
Now that you're already massaging my buns, you might as well continue. I'm shocked, of course, and stunned, but a little bit.
Was there any massaging of buns involved?
I'm shocked, but being that I have such a bad back, if I did not have such a bad back, making me unable to carry my luggage, I would not allow you to continue to massage me.
I need the muscles in my lower back massaged and other areas. What? I booked a massage. What? I had no idea it was gay. That's ridiculous.
Why? I will be disgusted for the rest of the vacation. I will not cancel it.
Pay no attention to the glitter. He's Rip Taylor.
He does. He looks exactly like Rip Taylor, that mustache.
Well, he looks a little bit like James Mason as well.
He does.
That's the gayest mustache ever. I'm sorry.
His Lolita, unfortunately, has a penis.
Yeah, that's the first thing that went through my mind. He looks exactly like James Mason.
Hey, Beth, this is striking resemblance to James Mason.
Okay. So how's about this Faisal Shazadi? Yeah, did you see that first of all?
Schleisman.
He bought firecrackers that apparently couldn't even blow up a watermelon, let alone an SUV. And then he locked the keys to the to his apartment and the getaway car in the bomb car.
Mm-hmm.
And
wow, he's all three stooges.
The New Yorkers apparently, according to this article, lucky the fireworks were bought legally because illegal pyrotechnics can be up to 1,000 times more powerful. And then apparently, did you hear what he said? The customs officials who came on board to arrest him, he said, I was expecting you. Are you NYPD or FBI?
Wow.
We're expecting you.
Wow. He was in his own little 24 episode or something.
Wow.
So you heard his, boy, his appearance was canceled in court because he's talking so much.
Yeah.
Must have been those, I guess, Miranda cards makes you chatty.
No. You have the right to remain silent.
Please.
No, shut up.
Please. Republicans hate it when perps get chatty.
29 minutes after the hour, back with Representative John Yarmuth of the great state of Kentucky on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
You expect me to ignore my fans? They're life and death to me, baby. They're the ones who really make me.
Such as I am.
Yeah.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number. Your Representative John Yarmuth of the great state of Kentucky, our good friend, joins us now. Good morning, Congressman.
Good morning, Stephanie.
Good morning. So much to talk about, but let's, you know, there was a little movement on financial reform yesterday, correct? The Dodd-Shelby thing went forward, so it looks like we're at least having movement on financial reform, yes?
Right. It looks like they finally have come together, and you know, the politics of this are fascinating because the public is overwhelmingly demanding that we put some curbs on Wall Street and that we end some of these casino practices that they've been using. And so for the Republicans to stand in the way was putting them in a very, very difficult position. And my own colleague, my co-Kentuckian, Mitch McConnell, has been noticeably absent from the debate for a while. So I think they all realize that they've got to get on board with this or the public's going to react very negatively toward them. What this is a group of institutions that brought us to the brink of disaster and provided very little public benefit for what they were doing. And I mean, this is a different banking system than we all are supportive of and know that it's important. This is a group of institutions that have put $600 trillion worth of gambling of bets out there, actually, right now in the economy. The whole world economy is $60 trillion a year, so they've got 10 times as much money bet on different things out there right now. And so this is craziness.
Congressman, we seem to have the same theme, don't we, in every debate, you know, that our friends on the Republican side seem to just think that everybody can regulate themselves, whether it's private health insurance companies, big banks, mining companies, oil companies,
insurance companies.
Yeah, and here we are again, right? I mean, it's go ahead.
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, when you look at some of the things that have come out in this debate, the fact that Lehman Brothers, may it rest in peace, I guess, in the 9 years or the 7 years after before it went out of business back in 2008, they had paid out $3 billion in dividends to their shareholders and $35 billion in bonuses to their executives. Ten times as much bonuses as they paid out in dividends. I mean, they have been playing for their own benefit and not for anybody else's, and that's why they need to have the some kind of constraints put on them.
Right, exactly. Well, speaking of big companies that don't like regulations and standards, what do you make? I mean, this oil spill is really, you know, becoming a crisis of pretty unprecedented proportions, even compared to Exxon Valdez. What do you make of this, you know, the liability rules and all of that? I mean, it seems to me that this company is going to have to, you know, make fishermen whole and is going to have to be called to account here, aren't they?
Exactly, and there's a bill working its way through Congress right now that would raise their exposure from like $75 million to $10 billion, which I think is entirely appropriate. I mean, we can't let them off the hook
when they make $14 billion a year. We can't let them off the hook with $75 million. That's chump change to them. And meanwhile, they've caused billions and billions of dollars worth of damage. And it looks like, I mean, a combination of neglect. It's not all BP. Halliburton was involved in this whole thing, too. They were part of... They built part of the infrastructure that went bad, and so there are a lot of players in this. But ultimately, it's like everything else. BP is the responsible party, and they need to be made to pay. And you know, and we've been subsidizing all this operation for many years. They've gotten billions of dollars of taxpayer subsidies to do this kind of drilling. And now it's you know, I was joking yesterday. It's a sick joke, but you know, this is Neptune getting really pissed off. I think, you know, no more. When I think he was sending the message, and you know, people are now saying, well, the president's backing off and so forth. What the president did in his policy announced a month or so ago was not to expand offshore drilling. It was actually to contract what the Bush administration had done. Because the Bush administration basically said you can drill anywhere and offshore, and the Obama administration said no, you can do it in these limited areas. So I don't think he's backed off at all, and I think he is appropriately saying, wait a minute, we need to look at this even more closely now.
Yep. Congressman, let's talk about the other big story. This obviously the New York City bomb plot. I mean, you know, it seems to me this could have not have gone better. You know, the guy is captured. He is singing like a bird. It seems like there's just nothing they won't criticize the president for. So this is, you know,
I just wish we'd laugh at them saying, you really, seriously, you're kidding. You know, and when John McCain talks about not Mirandizing this guy,
right,
the guy confessed after being Mirandized, just like the Christmas bomber confessed after being Mirandized. If you Mirandize somebody, it doesn't mean they're going to shut up. In fact, usually the opposite happens. But it's like, what are you complaining about?
Yeah, I know. Yeah. No, I that's what I keep thinking. It's just sort of some disconnect when I'm watching Lindsey Graham yesterday. I'm like, wait a minute. He confessed. This couldn't have gone better. We didn't have to torture. We didn't have to, you know. I mean, if we didn't Mirandize him, he could get away. I mean, we would have to let him go. There would be no case. I mean, it's you know, just stunning to me. Seriously,
that,
you know.
It is. And even the people who are complaining now, well, he got on the plane. Yeah, he did get on the plane, and he probably should have been flagged when he paid cash for that ticket to Dubai. But the fact
is, Chuck Schumer said that. We ought to add that to, obviously, you know, that needs to be another reason somebody's flagged immediately.
Right, but there were additional backups. They knew he was on the plane, even if he had taken off. They had precautions in place where he would have been apprehended when he landed. So
or they would have turned the plane around.
Turned
I know.
The plane around. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, it's hysterical. I mean, that's the way our dialogue has become now. It's gotcha. It's gotcha. And any stretch of the reality, any argument you can make is fair game.
Yeah, it's a head scratcher. Well, Representative John Yarmuth, we always appreciate your time. Thanks so much for checking in with us. We appreciate it.
Always good to be with you.
You too, sir. There he goes, Representative John Yarmuth.
Isn't Lindsey Graham a lawyer of some sort?
He was a JAG lawyer,
think
right?
Know a thing
yeah,
or two
military
about,
lawyer.
Mirandizing people.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
You know, you can see if something had gone awry, but you're kind of going, okay, we caught him in 53 hours.
He confessed.
He's singing like a bird. He confessed, like, what?
Yeah,
he said, Lindsey Graham said, I want to stop reading these guys' Miranda rights. I don't think it's smart for us to say the homeland is not part of the battlefield. Yes, and we're fighting a tougher, smarter war on terror in that we're catching them.
Yes.
And imprisoning them rather than letting them get away, like after 9/11.
Yeah.
Graham and his conservative counterparts are under the mistaken impression that Mirandizing a suspect grants special rights when all it does is inform someone of existing rights.
Right.
The record also doesn't show any evidence of Miranda rights being counterproductive to gathering intelligence.
So the case can't be thrown out of court.
Yeah.
Because he hasn't been read his Miranda rights.
Exactly. Let's get to some
Lindsey
fun
Graham
facts.
Knows all that.
Let's get to some fun facts about the New York City. It's Shazad! Who Jim thinks look like Hal Sparks, but I don't know.
Someone
said he looked like a bit more swarthy Corey Feldman.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Trying to revitalize his career. Doing a little webisode where he's pretending to be a terrorist.
Oh, you got us. Wow.
He has a master's degree from the University of Bridgeport. Listen to me, I'm like in the terrorist dating game. I'm reading.
Oh, wait a minute.
Yeah, change the music.
Yeah, okay.
He has... Just saying, pictures of chains, Jim. They're all smiley and Facebooky. He looks like something from Match.com.
Mm-hmm.
He's with his sunglasses and his little impish smile.
I just remember the last terrorist dating game that we did on the old show.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
We're a little bit something psychic, too. Weird.
Yeah.
Osama, that's back when Osama bin Laden was funny.
Yeah.
Okay. He has a master's degree from the University of Bridgeport in Connecticut. A job as a budget analyst for a marketing firm in Norwalk, Connecticut. Two children and a well-educated wife who posted his smiling picture and lovingly called him my everything on a social networking site. You know, I'm not a law enforcement expert, Jim, but is it wise if you're a terrorist to be on Facebook?
It was actually Orkut.com, which is like Facebook.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
My understanding was always that this kind of stuff is supposed to be secret. Okay. Shortly after becoming a U.S. citizen a year ago, he gave up his job, stopped paying his mortgage, and told a real estate agent to let the bank take back the house because he was returning to Pakistan. Once there, he traveled to Waziristan. They always use the word lawless in front of Waziristan. and learned his bomb making at a terrorist training camp.
Not very good.
Wait a minute, let's go down the list first of all. So he bought the wrong kind of fertilizer that doesn't blow up.
Mm-hmm.
He bought legal firecrackers. First of all, he's a terrorist and he bought legal firecrackers.
Well, didn't want to draw attention to himself.
Can you buy firecrackers anymore?
He bought the really weak legal kind.
Right? Oh. So you need to go to China to get the good
stuff. Millions of innocents, fine. Buying illegal firecrackers? No. What do you think I am? You think I have no morals?
Follow the trail of people with no fingers if you want to find the good fireworks.
Yes.
All right. Okay, so, yeah, wrong kind of fertilizer, wrong kind of firecrackers, and then he left the keys to the getaway car and his apartment in the bomb car.
I think he wanted to be caught. He just needed
it. Was it a cry for help?
I think it was.
His landlord told the AP on Wednesday that Shahzad had called him the night of the bombing, saying he lost his apartment key and needed to be let in the building. So you know what would be our best defense against terror?
Supers.
Manny, my superintendent, who will not let you in your apartment unless you pay him. Because when my dogs lock me out, I can't get in to save my life.
Uh-uh. You're not getting in. No effing way.
All right. We left jail.
Unless you got 15 lodged, you're not getting in.
That would be our best line of defense in Homeland Security. Hire Manny for everything. That douche nozzle.
They wouldn't even need Mo and Jack. Just Manny.
Exactly. A gun, by the way, was discovered in the car. Shahzad left at the airport. Police in his former Connecticut town said he bought a Kel-Tec rifle legally. Oh, that's a good idea. Glad that our gun laws are so, He's on the no-fly list, but he can get a freaking gun.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
After passing a criminal background check and in the waiting period. So, yeah, and I'm sure the NRA won't speak out against that.
Oh, God,
no.
Yes, sir, Mr. Bin Laden, you need a couple hundred AK-47s, 1,000 clips of ammo. Yes, sir, you're good.
All right, 46 minutes after the hour, back with all the latest on the New York City bomb suspect and much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
A perpetual motion machine, endlessly satisfying every human need.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 52 minutes after the hour. This portion of the Stephanie Miller Show brought to you by Carbonite. You know how much Mama loves her some Carbonite. I use it to back up all my computers. Gives me peace of mind. Don't risk losing your irreplaceable files and photos. Back up your computer today with Carbonite. Remember, use the offer code Stephanie for my special offer. A 15-day free trial plus 2 months free with any subscription. That's Carbonite.com. Offer code Stephanie. All right. What do you call it? We kept talking about the New York City bomb suspect. People are like, how did he get on the plane? Yada, yada. But, you know, the thing is, like, I think the congressman we just had on said, they could have turned the plane around, they could have got him in the, you know, the fact is, it worked. Yep. The system ended up working. It turns out, it looks to me, what they're saying, the airline appeared to drop the ball on Monday by not consulting an updated list, a no-fly list, when the Times Square suspect purchased his ticket. So Wednesday, the government issued a new requirement for airlines to check the no-fly list more often, a move aimed at closing that security gap in future cases with terror suspects.
They had no reason to suspect Corey Feldman, so I don't think...
Exactly. You know, visually, you... I hate to ask, but is that the one that died? Yes.
No,
no.
Corey
it's the other one. I thought you were saying it was a Andy Kaufman thing, and he didn't really die.
No.
Okay. Uh-uh. All right.
You were reading way too much into it, if you thought that was the case.
Also, Ray Kelly, the New York City Police Commissioner, talking about how, what do you call it, apparently they lost him on surveillance, but he said that, well, if you've watched any TV show, it's not uncommon.
Yeah.
I can't give you the specifics. I don't know why they lost surveillance on him, but this is not that unusual in surveillance matters.
Oh, come on. You've watched how many TV shows and movies? They were out getting fast food, the cops, and they're like, oh, where did he go? Oh, damn it.
Where's my crawler?
Stuffing bananas into tailpipes.
By the way, I see those mounted police in Times Square every day. Are you one of those people I get nervous to walk too close behind the horse? I do a wide berth around the mounted policemen because they look a little skittish. They don't look happy to be there. They always have that one foot kind of just, you know, sitting like it's ready to kick your ass. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
It's a crack up. I walk home every day through Times Square, and it's hilarious how people are still gathering. Like, there's nothing happening. It was a week ago. What happened? Where was it? Is there still something? There's still, like, TV trucks there and everything. It's just, you know.
Well, I'm not concerned about being kicked. I'm concerned about emissions.
Yes.
Coming
emissions,
from...
Emission standards are not controlled here in New York.
Especially from horses.
Equine emission standards. Yeah. Non-existent.
All right, Ray Kelly of New York City.
It appears from some of his other activities that March is when he decided to put this plan in motion. He came back from Pakistan on February 3rd, 2010, this year. So it may very well be an indicator of putting something, catastrophic in motion.
Representative Pete Hoekstra, a Republican in Michigan, of course, misses an opportunity to politicize terrorism.
I think there's tools out there that they are not using, that are sitting on the shelf, that might have helped identify and perhaps stop this potential attack in New York City.
The anti-terrorist death ray.
Wasn't this attack stopped?
It was stopped quite successfully.
Okay. This might not have happened. What happened? Nothing. Well, yes, but the nothing
but
wouldn't
the potential
have been,
of the
been
thing
even
that
farther away from
didn't
happening.
Happen and could have happened.
Yes.
Would have been more slightly less plausible.
Exactly.
If we had our terrorist death ray, which are just keeping on the shelf.
Caroline in Sacramento, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi.
Hello.
I was watching Keith Olbermann last night, as I do every weeknight.
Me too.
And, yeah, love him.
Cable
geek. Yep. And so anyway, he did his segment on worst persons in the world.
Yes.
And Rush Limbaugh was worst person in the world. And so then he went on and on, and he said, you know, he called him a fraud, and he called him a buffoon. He called him all kinds of stuff, called him a mountebank, all these words I was more or less familiar with.
Yes.
And then in the middle of this, he slipped in a word I didn't know. He called him a fonzanoon. And I thought, what is that? So I got on my computer. I found it, and I just laughed hysterically because a fonzanoon is somebody who farts in the bathtub and then bites the bubbles.
Oh, my God. Oh,
thank you for that fun fact.
Oh, God.
There's a term for that?
I guess so. It must have been a comedian character.
He's a bathtub farter. Well, I'm according to Rush. Do we have that draw from yesterday? I'm a suburban radio host or
whatever.
Something. I guess like that's an insult of
don't
some
have
sort.
It in there yet. I bet Henry Winkler's very upset about the fonzanoon thing.
Donna in California, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi, Steph. I was watching a PBS special on Pancho Barnes,
She was a flight, right, and the first women's air derby in 1929. He tried to stop it, Mr. Halliburton did, because he didn't want women flying, because if they crashed, then it would spoil the air industry, which would spoil his oil and gas industry.
Wow.
So since 1929...
Yeah, chicks ruin everything.
Yeah, since 1929, he has been trying to control everything.
And wow.
On the Stephanie Miller radio show in suburban America this morning.
Pancho Barnes ran the little cantina out by Muroc Airfield in The Right Stuff, if you recall.
Oh, thank you, Jim. All right, 58 minutes after the hour, back with Representative Elliot Engel, Right Wing World, and much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, stephaniemiller.com, the website. Check it out. This hour of the Stephanie Miller Show brought to you by GoToMeeting. GoToMeeting, the best way to host an online meeting. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click on the Try It Free button, type in the promo code Stephanie, don't forget, promo code Stephanie. All right. So much to get to. Oh, a great Greg Pallas piece on the oil spill that we will get to in just a bit. First, we have Representative Elliot Engel of the great state of New York. Good morning, Congressman.
Morning, Stephanie.
Thanks so much for taking time for us.
Always a pleasure. Thank you.
Well, let's talk first about, obviously, our not just a big – it started as a big New York story, and now it's a big everywhere story, the bomb plot. You know, it seems to me that this could not, first of all, have been resolved better. He's, you know, singing like a bird in prison. Isn't this resolved the way we're supposed to resolve these things? He was caught in, 53 hours, right?
Right. No, I mean, you know, all's well that ends well, but I think what it does show is that New York City continues to be the major terrorist threat in this country. It really makes me feel like I want to redouble my efforts to directing Homeland Security monies towards New York and towards other places where we know they are, you know, the greatest dangers. You know, we have this cash cow where these Homeland Security monies are dispersed all over the country, in the rural areas, and other places. And I think this just goes to show that New York continues to be a target and continues to need help.
Mm-hmm. You were talking about something recently. You write, in the light of the vital role played in the investigation by many security cameras in the vicinity, I want to reiterate my call for increased funding for security cameras for religious groups and nonprofit organizations that could be targets for violence. I mean, that's important, right? I mean, that was one of the biggest leads in this case, is that all these security cameras.
Yes, you know, I initially, years ago, had a visceral dislike for security cameras because I thought that they were a potential intrusion of privacy and whatever. But I think I've changed because security is far more important, and I think that those cameras played a vital role in being able to catch this guy, and I think that we need to have more cameras, and the federal government needs to put its money where its mouth is in terms of doing that. And you know, we had some incidents in my district where there were people who were trying to blow up two synagogues, and I have called for surveillance cameras outside of all religious institutions because I think that they are potentially a problem and a threat. And again, we need to make sure the federal government provides those cameras.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, this is the one thing I don't understand is that, like I say, apparently they've even held off his arraignment because he's talking so much. And we still have Republicans criticizing the, you know, the White House and the president, and why did we Mirandize him? Well, we Mirandized him so that the case will stick, correct?
That's correct. I mean, we even hear criticism of, well, you know, the plane he was on, they locked the door, they were ready for takeoff, and it was just a matter of a few minutes, he would have been taken off. Well, you know what? He didn't take off. It didn't matter if we caught him sitting in the plane or caught him as he was about to board the plane or caught him as he went into the airport. We got him, and that's what counts. But, you know, they're nitpicking. They don't want to give the administration credit for anything. And so they'll find, you know, if he had gotten away, God forbid, they would have criticized the president for that. If they caught him on the plane, but it wasn't before the door was locked, yep, they criticized him for that. And, you know, you name it, it's silly season. They'll just keep criticizing.
Yep.
The bottom line is we should politicize these kinds of things. These are threats to all of us, and the system worked. The system we have in play worked. Now, was it a perfect thing? No, but it worked. The citizens, again, Stephanie, it also shows that citizens have to do their role too. You know, the street vendor who saw the illegally parked car and with the directional or the lights on, blinking lights on, and smoke coming from it, alerted a policeman. I mean, we all in the 21st century, unfortunately, have to do our part as well.
Yep. Listen, I walk through Times Square every day, and I'd be the last person to report something because I'm always on the cell phone or have my headset on. So now I've learned a lesson too.
I'm always running from place to place, so I have to stop running and start looking.
Exactly, Congressman. The other, obviously, the big story, this oil spill, and you know, it seems the more and more, I mean, that we learn, it just whether it's the big banks and the lack of regulations, whether it's mining companies or whether it's oil companies, you know, we have got to keep fighting this fight to, you know, because every time they keep saying the big thing, you know, the same thing about, oh, big government, we don't want government in our lives, and then a disaster like this happens and they're like, oh, where was the government, when, you know, we can already see a culpability on BP's part, can't we?
Oh, well, you know, what I'd like to know is that BP and all the other oil companies assured us that we could never have a spill because there were all kinds of ironclad safeguards that if one thing failed, the second thing would come in, or the third thing would come in, or the fourth thing would come in. And guess what? Nothing came in. So therefore, we need to have government regulation. The whole problem with the McNeil company, with the medications of our kids, you know, the Tylenol and Benadryl and things like that, now we're hearing reports that there were known bacteria in these products, and McNeil continued to put them out. So we need to scrutinize that. There's going to be hearings in Washington, which I called for a few days ago, scrutinizing that. So, you know, some of our friends say, you know, government is too big and government needs to get smaller. The fact of the matter is that sometimes only government can save us from ourselves and save us from these companies that you know, put profits over people and do all kinds of things in terms of not really caring who gets hurt. The bottom line to them is the bottom line, and that can't be.
Yeah, oh, no, absolutely. I mean, the more and more that I'm reading about BP, I mean, they were just testifying, weren't they, about how, you know, we're able to police ourselves and we don't need this kind of regulation when they were testifying before Congress. You know, and now we're finding that in a lot of cases they've been, you know, what's the word, less than truthful about, you know, about what they had ready to respond to this disaster, about how much oil was leaking. I mean, it's you know, this just, there has got to be some kind of safeguard against this sort of thing.
Well, it sort of reminds you of the tobacco industry when they were telling us how many years ago that tobacco was safe. They didn't know that it caused cancer and, you know, encouraged people to smoke. You know, unless these companies understand that someone's breathing down their neck and watching them very closely, and again, it has to be the federal government because it's the only entity that can do it. Unless these companies know that this is going to happen, we're going to have these things again and again and again and again because they'll try to get away with, you know, the minimal amount of responsibility, and the public be damned, and we cannot have that.
Yep, absolutely. Well, as long as we have more Elliot Engels in Congress, we will. Congressman Elliot Engel, thanks as always for your time this morning.
Thanks. It's a pleasure to be on your show and not to talk about health care for a change.
Yeah. Exactly. Thank you, Representative. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. There he goes. Representative Elliot Engel of the great state of New York. All right. Oh, speaking of New York, Mama's going out tonight in New York.
What?
I know.
Are you going to go see a show?
I am going to go see a show.
Really?
You know, The official girl group of the Stephanie Miller Show, Betty, is playing tonight at a benefit. What's her name? Kate Pearson from the B-52s.
Oh, cool.
Leslie
Gore. Oh, my God.
It's all it's for the children, because you know I'm all about the children.
Yeah, you are.
Mm-hmm. It's for my friend from Betty. Her kid goes to the Little Missionary Day Nursery, and they're having a big fundraiser tonight at the Orizon Center on the Lower East Side. Please come join Mama at the thing for the kids with the Flavin.
I've always thought of Manhattan as not a place for kids.
No,
it's a place for really tough kids.
What? What are you looking at?
Yeah.
Play with your own Legos, you mook.
You friggin' mook. All right. No, here it's all about getting into the right, preschool so you can get into the right day school so you can get into the right prep school.
Is Betty's child in the right preschool?
I don't know.
You need to
find
that out.
That's why you need to go tonight to this thing and help, for God's sakes.
I believe in New York you take in a show.
Exactly. Like I'm getting enough pressure as a dog mother. You know that. The woman in Central Park that always gets on my case, but she has five dog walkers in a daycare center, and the dogs go out six times a day. And
do you have the right dog walker?
Well, it's Kevin Bacon's dog walker. It better be.
Wow.
Well, that,
All right.
You're one degree of Kevin Bacon's dog walker.
Exactly. I am. Steve in Seattle writes, Hi, Steph. I am a loyal StephCast subscriber, only 3 chickens a month when you barter a year in advance. The teabaggers remind me of a story I heard on the radio when Senator Al Franken was a lowly radio host. A politician from Arkansas was on. He said he'd been campaigning in a small town. He met an elderly lady at a table, asked how old she was. She said 97. He remarked she'd seen a lot of changes in the world in her life. She said she'd seen a lot of changes, and she's been against every single one of them. The teabaggers are a group of old white people afraid of change. We need to ignore them and continue moving forward. Courage, Steve in Seattle. Well, that's the we have that drop, don't we? The symbol of the Republican Party. That's why it's an elephant. It's for some reason. All right. I don't remember. It's logged in my brain somewhere. One of our drops.
Look, the two symbols of the Republican Party: elephant and a big fat white guy who's threatened by change.
Also, elephants are rumored to have long memories, so they're always looking backward. You see.
Oh, I understand.
Stephanie Miller.
I get it. It's the official girl group of the Stephanie Miller Show. Betty, join Mama tonight for a fundraiser for the children and the
whatever.
My friends Betty are playing. It's for, it's all the stuff I care about, kids and things. No, it's good. It's for, hang on a second. I'm trying to find out where you can go to find tickets. I didn't know you were going to play this. Oh,
no.
Go to lmdn.org for tickets tonight for the big fundraiser in NYC.
And they are fantastic in person.
Yeah, they are. They're terrific. Okay. And also the B-52s, Kate Pearson, Leslie Gore, It's My Party, All right. Curtis Thomas, BP spokesman, yesterday.
You still have the same amount of oil coming out of the 2 leaks as you did the 3. But again, as I said, it makes it easier for us to fight.
Oh, yeah. It'll be cleaned up in a damn in just a jiffy, I'm sure. As soon as they get the big box there. Jim, do you think, right after they put that on, we're going to hear a little meep, and then they'll be like, yeah, that didn't work. Governor Bobby Jindal.
I hope it works.
Yeah, me too.
Louisiana, this is going to be a marathon, not a sprint. It's capping the leak, cleaning up the oil, and then repairing the damage to our wetlands.
Yeah.
Good luck with that. By the by, let me tell you about this Greg Palast piece, because it really makes my blood boil. Greg writes, I've seen this movie before. In 1989, I was a fraud investigator hired to dig into the cause of the Exxon Valdez disaster. Despite Exxon's name on the vote, I found the party mostly to blame for the destruction was British Petroleum. That's important to know because the way BP caused devastation in Alaska is exactly the way BP is now sliming the entire Gulf Coast. From my investigation, BP has figured out a very low-cost way to prepare for this task. BP lies. BP prevaricates. BP fabricates and obfuscates. That's because responding to a spill may be easy and simple, but not at all cheap. And BP is cheap, deadly cheap. And here's the stuff I didn't know. We keep talking about how it's like a Roadrunner cartoon, these ideas. Mm-hmm. Thing is, according to Greg, they know how to contain it. They're just not spending the money to be ready for it. Mm-hmm. He says to contain a spill, the main thing you need is a lot of rubber. It's called boom, lots and lots of it. Quickly surround a spill, leak, or burst, and then pump it out into skimmers, disperse it, or sink it, or burn it. Simple. But there's one thing about the rubber skirts. You've got to have lots of them at the ready with crews on standby and helicopters and on containment barges ready to roll. They have to be in place around the clock all the time like a fire department, even when all is operating A-OK, because rapid response is the key. That's what, you know, we're hearing over and over. Before the Exxon Valdez grounding, BP's a group up there claimed it had these full-time oil spill response crews. I mean, the bottom line of Greg's piece is they lied. Mm-hmm. They didn't. You know, this is just, that's why you can't trust a lot of these companies to police themselves. As a result, the oils from the Exxon Valdez, which could have and should have been contained around the ship, spread out in a spludge that wrecked 1,200 miles of shoreline. Here we go again. Valdez goes Cajun. BP CEO Tony Hayward reportedly asked, what the hell do we do to deserve this? It's what you didn't do, Mr. Hayward. There was where was BP's containment barge and response crew? Why was the containment boom laid so damn late and too little? Why is it that the U.S. Navy is hauling in 12 miles of rubber boom and fielding 7 skimmers instead of BP? Last year, CEO Hayward boasted that despite increased oil production in exotic deep waters, he had cut BP's cost by an extra $1 billion a year. Now we know how he did it. In the end, this is bigger than BP and its policy of cheaping out and skiving the rules. This is about the anti-regulatory mania, which has infected the American politic. While the teabaggers are simply its extreme expression, U.S. politicians of all stripes love to attack the little bureaucrat with the fat rule book. Americans want government out of our backs. That is until a folding crib crushes the skull of our baby. Toyota accelerators speed us to our death. Banks blow our savings on gambling sprees and crude oil smothers them in Mississippi. Then suddenly where the hell was the government? Why didn't the government do something to stop it? The answer is because government took you at your word when they said you should get out of the way of business. The business could be trusted to police itself. It was only last month that BP lobbying for new deepwater drilling testified to Congress that additional equipment and inspection wasn't needed. Anyway, and then the Halliburton, he talks about that connection. BP failed to communicate the depth. Apparently the well was deeper than the 18,000-foot depth reported. They failed to communicate that depth. The Halliburton crews who poured in too small a cement cap for the additional pressure caused by the depth, so it blew. Why didn't Halliburton check? Gross negligence on everyone's part, according to Greg Pallas.
An acoustic switch that could have prevented the spill would have cost him $500,000. I mean, yeah, $500,000.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
$500,000. And they had a profit last month, the first quarter profit of $6 billion.
Yeah, I know. By the way, isn't this hilarious? The Republicans are pretending that they drill, baby, drill. Who said that? We didn't say that.
No. What are you talking about?
Senate Republicans disowning the catchphrase, drill, baby, drill.
What?
That's claiming Republicans never endorsed it. John Kyle and Pat Roberts attempt to distance themselves and their party from the phrase, pretending not to know who popularized it and dismissing the slogan that was 2-3 years ago.
All those videos are a conspiracy theory.
This was not a Senate Republican phrase, Kyle said. I think there was a candidate. A candidate? How about McCain and Palin repeatedly?
The Republican candidates.
His fellow senator from the state of Arizona.
Yeah.
So I don't know about the slogan. That slogan was, what, 2-3 years ago?
He said it when he was drunk, but never a policy. Well, that's crazy.
Oh, and the chairman of your party, Michael Steele, introduced it at the Republican convention, and the crowd, remember, started chanting drill, baby, drill throughout the event, egged on by Rudy Giuliani and other.
Michael who?
It interrupted McCain,
Rudy
the
who?
Candidate, the presidential candidate. Several points.
John who?
McCain. 29 minutes after the hour.
I think you're wrong.
Representative Bruce Braley next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Usually one must go to a bowling alley to meet a woman of your stature.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Representative Bruce Braley, our good friend from Iowa, joins us. Good morning, Congressman. Oh, did I do that right? I believe I did. Representative Braley. Good morning. Hello. Uh-oh. It says he's there, and yet he's not. All right, let's pause briefly. Yeah. All right, this hour of the Stephanie Miller Show, by the way, brought to you by Carbonite. I use Carbonite to back up my computers, gives me peace of mind. Don't risk losing your irreplaceable files and photos. Back up your computer today with Carbonite. Remember, offer code Stephanie for my special offer, a 15-day free trial, plus 2 months free with any subscription, Carbonite.com. Offer code Stephanie. All right.
Doing another fun fact about the oil thing?
Yes, please.
Norway, which depends heavily on oil production from its rigs in the North Sea, drillers there have been required since 1993 to use the remote-controlled acoustic cutoff switch. So communist socialist Norway will not have spills like that because they thought to spend the
extra During Katrina, did you see those pictures, Jim, from around the world on what
Holland,
other people's levees look like? It's like in America. All right. By the way, that right-wing tool, Mike Pence, the guy that I did the debate on the Fairness Doctrine with.
Yeah, he wasn't
along
too
with,
fair.
What's that?
He wasn't too fair.
No, he's not. He's a right-wing asshat.
Mm-hmm.
What's his name was there, too? Roger Hedgehog.
Cock.
Excuse me?
Cock! Roger Hedgecock.
Oh, pardon me. I always get that wrong. Roger Hedgecock.
Mm-hmm.
The third-ranking House Republican, Mike Pence, said the White House was slow to respond after the explosion of the offshore, signaling that some Republicans prepared to start politicizing the disaster already. Mike Pence said the necessary equipment was not immediately available in the region. Yeah, that was BP's job.
Mm-hmm.
And they lied to the administration about what they were doing, how big the leak was, and what they were doing to contain it. So, you know, this is okay. He said, I love how they always think they speak for the American people. He said, the American people want answers. They want to know what's happened. They want to know why the federal response was slow. No, they don't, right-wing asshat.
The federal response.
You do. Yeah.
Well, though,
Republicans in general have avoided casting blame. Representative Joe Barton, Republican of Texas, even said government regulators were likely not to blame and is looking to work with Democrats to discover the reasons behind the incident. Well, looky there. An honest Republican.
Wow.
That wants to get to the bottom. Robert Gibbs dismissed Pence as badly informed. Even the boner wasn't ready to blast the Obama administration. He said, we want to get to the bottom of what happened. Getting to the bottom of this is on the top of his list, Jim.
The bottom is on the top of my list.
He said, I don't think we have all the answers to what happens. The point we get to the bottom.
We got to get to the top of the bottom.
Exactly.
It's in the middle of my list to get on the top of the bottom.
So confusing, his lists. Unless they're big enough to throw down on the floor and make a big sound. All right. Representative Bruce Braley does join us now from the great state of Iowa. Good morning, Congressman.
Good morning, Stephanie.
Good morning, sir. I know you have a vote to get into, so let's talk about the we've been talking about this oil spill and BP's liability in it. You know, more and more seems to be coming out about this. And I think if nothing else, I mean, they have got to compensate the fishing industry, don't they?
Well, not more than just the fishing industry. Anybody who is impacted economically or environmentally by this disaster, BP should be the one footing the bill for that. And I attended a briefing for the House and Senate on Tuesday afternoon with Secretary Salazar and the federal on-the-scene coordinator, who was terrific, Admiral Thad Allen. He reminded me of the guy who was running the show during Apollo 13, both in his appearance and his demeanor, a real no-nonsense, just the facts. And it was a very informative briefing. And Secretary Salazar made it very clear that BP has assured the federal government that they will pay for every item of damage. And he made the comment, it's our job to keep a boot on their neck to make sure that they pay for this. And I think that a lot of us are skeptical that under the existing legislation that was passed after the Exxon Valdez disaster, that the legislation itself is adequate to make that happen, which is why yesterday I introduced the Big Oil Bailout Prevention Act, along with Congressman Rush Holt and a number of others, to make sure that they are going to have a legislative requirement to clean this up, as well as a supposedly moral one.
Yeah, absolutely. Congressman, another big story, you know, obviously we need more fighters like you in Congress. And David Obey of Wisconsin, obviously, take a listen from
there's a time to stay and a time to go. And this is my time to go. Frankly, I hate to do it. There is so much that needs to be done. But even more frankly, I am bone tired.
That's a blow to Democrats, isn't it, losing him? I am a big fan of his.
Well, it's a blow because he is a hero of mine. David came out and campaigned with me in 2006. I remember being a little intimidated by that, but what a wonderful, warm, generous person who is the personification of what we need in Congress, somebody who's willing to fight for his beliefs, fight for the values of the people he represents, and he will be sorely missed.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I guess you can't judge people's, you know, when they feel that they've had enough. But, boy, I think even Robert Gibbs was saying, you know, the political climate may be part of that reason. It is getting pretty unfortunate, isn't it?
Yes, but I thought David answered that question forcefully and powerfully yesterday when he made it very clear he's never run away from a fight in his life, and that was not the reason he made this decision. He talked about having considered doing it before 2000, but after the 2000 election and how it was handled, he decided to stay on and continue the fight.
And yeah, I loved his line. He said, I've won 25 elections. Do you really think I don't know how to win another one?
Exactly. Yeah. So he did not change at all. And I've made it very clear in my conversations with David that he may be leaving Congress, but we need his voice to continue to inspire and motivate the rest of us.
Absolutely. And they need your voice in a vote, I understand, right now. But thank you so much
it's good to be on the show. And, you know, we're going to keep on them and make sure that they're accountable, because this is a disaster of epic proportions. And that's why we're taking the action that we have.
Absolutely. Congressman, thanks for your time, as always, even though I know you're really in a rush here. Thanks so much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
All right. There he goes. Representative Bruce Braley of the great state of I loved Robert Gibbs yesterday, by the way. He didn't answer the Fox guy in the press conference.
Wendell Gohler, yes, I saw that.
In the light of the network allowing Brownie to air his conspiracy theory without any pushback, he said he wasn't entirely sure a factual answer I might give to any one of your questions is going to change the notion that your network put out. But he basically said the administration did it on purpose.
Right.
Really, kind of let it go on purpose.
Sure. Yeah. They dove down there and broke open the...
Yeah, so that they could shut down drilling. And he was not, by the way, the only person on Fox. There were several Fox personalities, and including Dana Perino and others that floated the same conspiracy theory.
You know what Neil Cavuto's answer to that was?
What the Fox? What?
Why don't you just come on the show and talk it out with us?
talk about this conspiracy theory that you're involved with. Dude.
Wow, speaking of oil and Fox, this is not a conspiracy theory. Last week, VoteVets.org, have you seen that ad about the, you know, a clean energy climate plan would cut our dependence on foreign oil in half and cut oil profits for hostile nations?
I haven't seen that ad because I watch Fox News.
Yeah. Oh. Mm-hmm. The ad asserts every day Iran gets $100 million richer selling oil around the world and peddling hate. Yeah, CNN, MSNBC have aired it. Aired it. Fox will not do so. They say, you know why? The ad's too confusing.
What?
Wow. It's too confusing because there might be actual facts in there.
Yelling and confusing is why Fox would reject an ad, says VoteVets, that calls on Congress to defund our enemies by finding new sources of energy. The weird thing might be that Saudi oil tycoon Prince Alawid bin Talal owns a 7% stake in Fox News, parent company, making him the largest shareholder outside of Rupert Murdoch. So it's interesting they're confused.
So they're the oil channel.
When VoteVets says if the world moves away from oil dependence, Iran's regime will no longer be able to rely on petrodollars to stay afloat. So it's not really that hard to understand.
Right.
Unless, of course, you're controlled by a Saudi oil mill, in which case, then that's probably fairly difficult. Okay.
it is possible to get away from oil-based businesses, because Brazil runs pretty much all of its cars on sugarcane-based ethanol.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're not dependent on oil at all.
By the by, we have to give a bipartisan. Alabama Governor Bob Riley becomes the third Republican governor to reconsider new drilling, joining Charlie Crist and Arnold Schwarzenegger. He asked if he would consider his drill baby drill stance. He said that he will have a completely different attitude if the efforts to protect his state's shores fail. So, all right. Senator Mary Landrieu, meanwhile, dismissed any implication that the oil spill presents a conflict of interest for her.
Oh, that's crazy.
She said, I've received money from oil companies and environmental groups. Yes, she's received like 3 cents from environmental groups. And by the way, more money than anybody in Congress from DP.
Environmental groups, notoriously not rich.
Yeah. Well, except for the large fleet of nuclear submarines, attack submarines that they maintain they want to blow up oil rigs.
With a torpedo.
Uh-huh. Anyway, she, I believe she doesn't, she gets more cash from BP than any other member of Congress. She said yesterday, I am not a handmaiden to the oil industry. And then she took off her BP apron and left in a huff.
Yeah. She just gives hand, you know.
Louise.
President Obama receives a huge chunk of change from BP as well.
Yeah, which may be why he chose Ken Salazar as Secretary of the
Interior.
Just
saying.
All right. Well.
I mean, if we're going to be slamming Mary Landrieu,
Mary Landrieu, I have no use for God's sakes, on this and many other issues.
Well, if you're going by the same standard, then you should have no use for President Obama, who receives a large amount of money from BP as well.
Yeah, but he's suspending drilling, not out there like Mary Landrieu saying, drill, baby, drill still. So that's all I'm saying. All right. Listen, more importantly, we have a new Steph aptitude test.
Okay.
Yes. Those of you that pass this, which many of you do, have entirely too much free time. Tommy has sent another Steph aptitude test, an SAT. What did Steph's older brother say before he tackled her?
Butkus.
Yeah. Butkus, that's right. It's the famous tackler in the 70s. Okay. Is the way Rebecca lashes out at Steph just hiding something deeper? Answer, yes. Rebecca really loves Steph and feels empty now that she's moved to the other coast. I don't think that's correct.
No, that's not correct
at all. I think she really hates me.
Yeah.
I think that's what Tommy would like to think.
Computer says no.
No, she really hates me. What phrase best describes Steph in her New York City apartment? A, sleepless and sweaty. B, locked out by her dogs, Fred and Max. C, eating leftover carry-out food as she watches trashy TV shows with her dogs. D, having to tickle her butt in order to pee. E, all of the above.
All of the above. Yes.
That's correct. Okay, this is an edition of Quién está el más loco, who is the most crazy. A, Jim for making the character's facial expression as he's doing a voice impersonation on the radio. B, Chris Lavoie for his hang-up about peeing in the shower. C, Stephanie Miller for not liking a fresh rhubarb pie.
C.
Correct answer, I guess, is C.
Yes.
He seems to like rhubarb. It makes me...
rhubarb has an odd texture to it. It, like, coats your teeth.
Yeah, it is. It's stringy, and it's sour.
Well, I like strawberry rhubarb pie.
Yes. That's much better.
That's very... Have you had it at Knott's Berry Farm? Oh, my God.
All right. And the final bonus question. What two female entertainers did Steph want to model her career after? Carol Burnett and Linda Lovelace. Yeah, which has not turned out to be a good combination. It has not turned out to be very successful or lucrative.
Hmm.
46 minutes.
Lindsay Lohan is Linda Lovelace.
Yes, she's going to be playing Linda Lovelace.
Same initials and same hobbies.
What, filleting for Coke?
I've never done it for Coke.
Term.
Wait a minute. What did I just say? 47 minutes after the hour. Oops, time to take a break.
Zoinks.
Right back with Right Wing World on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm smart, you're dumb. I'm big, you're little. I'm right, you're wrong. And there's nothing you can do about it.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 52 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Let's dive into the right-wing world, shall we, see what's doing. My, we've been busy today.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, look, I'm in right-wing world again. Yeah, in another Kafka-esque nightmare that continues. I heard O'Reilly play a clip from the show last night as well. But he hates me so much he didn't even name me.
Right. It was just
it's just a radio show of some sort.
A radio show from Dial Global. That's what it was.
Mm-hmm. Say it.
Stephanie Miller.
You know you want to say it, Bill. All right. This is such a ridiculous, it's such an example of how they just lie. And they take their marching orders, right, Chris, from these right-wing blogs.
Yep, from Radio Equalizer.
So Contessa Brewer comes on our show, Contessa Brewer from MSNBC. I ask her opinion on something. She expressed I was hoping, you know, that this was not an Islamic guy because of the bigotry that already exists, whatever. She, at no point, in all the headlines, what did it say, Chris? Contessa Brewer said she hopes that it was a right-wing Republican teabagger.
Yeah.
She said nothing of the sort.
Right.
All right, so we got on the Brit Bear on Fox News.
Well, MSNBC anchor Contessa Brewer voiced her frustration in learning the background of the suspect, Faisal Shahzad. Newsbusters noted Brewer, quote, didn't explain which ethnicity or religion she had been hoping the bomber would have been affiliated with. Brewer responded on Facebook saying she wasn't hoping the suspect would be a particular nationality, race, or religion, but rather that she worried people would use the information to justify bigotry.
So the whole story was what she didn't say.
Yes, that was all the headlines.
She didn't say that. She didn't say it was space aliens from the planet Zarquan, but clearly she's hoping it was.
See, now I'm liking Rush better because at least Rush said
Stephanie Miller.
Exactly. At least Rush identified where it was.
That's right.
I'm on the no talk list on the Fox News.
Yeah.
The name that dare not speak it name on Fox News.
Stephanie Miller.
All right. Charles Krauthammer on the.
If you strip them of their citizenship, then you expose them as somebody who isn't an American citizen, forfeited all the rights involved, and you can treat them much more easily as an enemy to combat. And I think it's a good idea, and I hope it passes.
So he wants to strip citizenship from everyone who does something who's anti-American?
Or who's accused of anything.
Yes, who's just accused of it. Because that's, by the way, could that be more anti-American? No.
No.
It says no.
Good
no.
God.
If I say that you murdered 50 children after raping them, then you're accused and you deserve to be stripped of your citizenship.
By the way, what's with all these draconian ideas from Lieberman and Lindsey Graham when this was successful? Mm-hmm. This couldn't have been a more successful capture and prosecution thus far. It's like,
well, clearly it was too successful, and we have trouble making a political issue out of it. That's why we have to take all these drastic measures.
I see.
As you can hear, I'm livid.
Yeah. Charles Krauthammer once again on the teabaggers.
They are not extreme. They are not on the right as people imagine.
No.
They are a constituency of fairly centrist Republicans who believe in smaller government, upscale, more highly educated than the general public. They are going to be easy to bring back in the general election. It's not like you're appealing to the George Wallace constituency, which would jeopardize an appeal in the center. I think they're going to be easy. Yes, they might have supported more libertarian the candidates, but it's not as if it's going to be a hard time in roping them in. I think they're going to be an asset in November and not a detriment if you're a Republican.
Yeah. Here's what. They're the right-wing lunatic fringe, the racist lunatic fringe. And by the way, Tea Party comes up short in early primaries, the breaking news headline, I don't know if you saw this. Mm-hmm. Mark the first round for Republican incumbents and party establishment favors with one race in Ohio yet to be settled. The Tea Party-backed challengers and other outsiders were shut out in competitive House and Senate primaries across three states on Tuesday. So much for the 24/7 coverage of what an enormous movement the teabaggers are and what enormous influence they're going to have. Even John Fear said they're not organized. It's unclear to me whether they're going to be a force that is going to challenge the more established Republicans in primaries.
They're anti-establishment, so it's against their very nature to be organized.
Right.
You know?
Exactly.
They're a team of mavericks.
Yeah, that's look how well that worked out. All right, prostitute toe sucker Dick Morris.
The terror attack on Broadway in New York will work for the Republicans because it will cause people to ask the question, why under Obama have we had three attacks on American soil, whereas with Bush we had none after 9/11 in 7 years?
Nothing. There was no attacks on American soil.
See, we had two attacks that were foiled. Hunter, I see. And unlike one big successful attack under Bush, and that means...
Obama's a failure, clearly, because not enough people have died that we could use as a political system.
Hannity and Stuart Varney on the Fox.
Mayor Bloomberg, we're going to play this in the next segment here, and Gerald Nadler and some other people
you know, suggesting almost immediately, well, maybe this was somebody acting because they didn't like the health care bill. I mean,
it's divisive. That's what it is. Oh, it's an attempt to demonize white males, Tea Party people, Republicans.
Oh. Wow, wow, wow.
And fake Americans with British accents.
All right, that's it for us today. Oh, the awesome Joan Walsh tomorrow, and of course Fridays with Bugle Saying. Don't miss it. We'll see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.